expecting special music from me, you are in trouble. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 13, 1 through 9. Repent or perish. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, there are invariably going to be seasons in our life when we feel as though we are wandering in the wilderness, right? Wandering around lost in the woods. Seasons of loss, uncertainty, deep longing. And maybe you have walked through a season like this, like you know what this is like. Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe this is the season of struggle for you, maybe for your family. And perhaps it's the loss of a loved one. Perhaps it's facing an unexpected diagnosis. Maybe it's the experience of a dream that you had slipping through your fingers. And no longer being a part of your reality and the struggle with the loss of that dream. And so in those moments, it's easy to ask God in our prayers, God, where are you? Where are you? And why is this happening to me? Why is this happening now? So in our passage today, Jesus speaks to a crowd, and they're struggling with a similar question. Kind of the similar things going through their mind, similar struggle. And they come to him, and they come to Jesus with tragic news, and they want kind of an explanation. They want to make sense of this tragic news, and this isn't common. We talked about this even in our Sunday school class this morning when we get tragic news and trying to make sense of it. And it was about a group of Galileans, and they were killed by Pontius Pilate. Really gruesome, right? Mixed their blood with sacrifices and did that. Also about a tower that collapsed, and it took 18 lives. Like 18 people died in the collapse of this tower. And so their questions implied in the conversation that they're having with Jesus. Why did this happen? Why, Jesus? And a possible explanation, were they worse sinners than others? Was this God's just punishment upon them? And that's why it happened. And really, this is a timeless question. It's one we still ask today. It's one we still wonder about. You hear it all the time in the news. Something happens and somebody gets on and says, well, this was God's punishment for these people and for their sin. But Jesus does not give them the answer that they expect to hear or maybe that they want to hear. Instead, he invites them. He says, look at your own life. Look at your own lives. Feel a sense of urgency in your own life to walk with God in a better way, in a good way, right? So he invites them to do this, and then he tells them a parable, right? So after the invitation is this parable, a story about a fig tree that has not come to bear fruit yet, a barren fig tree. And in doing so, Jesus reminds us that in the wilderness of loss and longing, God is still at work, still tending to the soil of our lives, still calling us to cling to him, to hold fast to his presence, to trust in his faithfulness to us, even when this is the season that we're in. In Luke 13, 1 through 5, Jesus addresses two tragedies. The people want to make sense of the suffering, perhaps hoping to assign some blame, make some logic of it. How do we make some logic of this, Jesus, this horrible thing that has happened? Jesus, however, shifts their focus. He doesn't let them remain there, shifts their focus. Rather than explaining why these tragedies happen, he calls them themselves to repentance. And not like repentance, like, well, gosh, you know, you keep at the same route and this thing's going to happen to you too. Not that kind of repentance, not guilt and condemnation, but a repentance of turning towards God, turning your gaze towards God, realigning your life towards God's purpose. Take these tragedies, think about them. Now is the time for you to realign your life while you have life left in you, because these folks no longer do. Today is your opportunity. And so then verses 6 through 9, Jesus tells this parable about this fig tree. And the story is that a man has planted a fig tree in this vineyard. 3 years it has not produced fruit. No fruit to speak of. He's ready to cut it down. The gardener pleads for patience. Please don't cut this tree down, right? Please give it some time. Just another year. Let's keep nourishing it. Right? Let's do this. And the parable is a powerful image of God's mercy and faithfulness towards us as people, and as his people. The vineyard owner represents divine judgment, while the gardener represents divine grace. The gardener intercedes on behalf of the tree, offering more time, more nourishment, just as God extends his patience to us. To us when we struggle in similar ways. And so the parable reminds us that even in barren seasons, when we feel unproductive, when we feel empty, when we feel lost, God is still tending to us. He is still present. He is still nurturing you. He is still calling you to new life with him. So, how do we respond when we find ourselves in seasons of barrenness and longing and grief? What do we do? Well, we cling to God when we don't feel his presence. We cling to God when we don't feel his presence. We remember God's faithfulness to us. It's a memory action. In the wilderness, Israel often forgot what God had done for them. Like, great things, and then, like, oh no, now what do we do? This hard thing has happened. They longed for Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery despite the oppression and hardship they endured. It would be better, they thought, to be in slavery than to have to each day unknowing these new challenges. God, what will we do? And so in our own struggles, we can forget that God has been faithful to us, right? There was a day when he was faithful to us. Like, that's why we're here today, is because we got through that hardship. Scripture reminds us over and over again, remember, remember. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Deuteronomy 31:8 assures us, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Despite your challenges and your hardships, we must cultivate the practice of remembering. Cultivate the practice of remembering. Keep a journal of answered prayers when God came through for you. Recall moments when we have felt God's presence. Share stories of God's faithfulness when you are together with other Christian people. And having those conversations, remember, remember, remember. So we remember God's faithfulness. Secondly, we embrace the community that reflects God's love. That reflects God's love to one another. We were never meant to be in the wilderness alone. And yet, don't we always find ourselves in that place alone? Because we wandered off from others. You know, the church is called to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to carry each other's burdens, to sit with one another in grief, to rejoice with one another when we experience victories. There was a hospice chaplain, and he once shared about a story of a woman in her final days, and she had lost much in her life, much. She'd lost her health, her independence, her sense of purpose. She'd lost all these things. She had been in slow decline for a long time, but now her body was beginning to shut down, and the process of death was quickly coming upon her. Yet in her last moments, she clung to the hands of the family who surrounded her with love. And as she clung to those hands before her final moment came, she looked at them and she said to them, "I feel God in your hands." Sometimes when we struggle to feel God's presence, we experience it through others, through the hands of others, the prayers of others, the warmth of a friend's embrace, the kindness of a neighbor, the prayers of church family. These are glimpses of God's sustaining love in our lives in hardship. Our connection to God is most often experienced through our interactions with other Christian people. In our church, our community, our families, our neighborhoods, in these ways. So, embrace your faith community that reflects God's love, and then trust that fruit will come in time. In time, it will happen. The barren fig tree did not produce fruit immediately, but it was still being tended to. In seasons of waiting, we may not see God is growing us in that way. We may not see the fruit coming. But just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. It's still happening. The process is still occurring. Our setbacks and challenges in life are also a part of that process. I hate that, but that's the way it is. Our setbacks and challenges are a part of the process. Not everything that is experienced as a loss today will be used in your future by God as a loss. Not everything that is experienced as a setback today will be used in your future to set you back. And not everything that is experienced as grief today will not be used in your future by God to lead you in long seasons of grief, right? He will in time lead you out of those things. You see, tomorrow's gains are oftentimes experienced in the present as loss and grief and setbacks. In United Methodist Church, we talk about sanctifying grace. I know other churches, denominations talk about sanctifying grace. We like grace as Methodists. We got all kinds of flavors of grace. One of our flavors is sanctifying grace. And sanctifying grace is that grace that continues to work in us, shaping us into the people that God desires us to be, that we would be sanctified. It is the purifying work within us where God uses hardships in our lives to make us holier people. God does not abandon us in the wilderness. He is still working. He is still nourishing. He is still calling us and preparing us to bear fruit in His name for future seasons and future times. There was a woman, she once planted tulip bulbs in the fall. She planted some tulip bulbs. She hadn't planted tulips before, but she thought, well, you do this in the fall, right? So that's what she did. The ground, it was hard. She got the shovel in there. It was hard. After she planted them, she just wondered, okay, is anything actually going to come of this? The winter was long. She just saw nothing out there looking at those bulbs. But in the spring, the time became right. The rains came, the air warmed up, and the tulips bloomed. The tulips bloomed. God is doing something in you, even when you can't see it. Even when you're not aware of it. Even in seasons of your life where the ground feels dry and hard and cold, He is doing a new thing within you. So, how do we live differently because of this passage? because of what we have read and learned about? Well, Jesus calls us to repentance, not because of fear, but because of invitation. Because he has invited you and he calls you to respond to that and to step into that repentance. He calls us to wake up, to turn towards God, to cling to him, to trust in him, to believe that he is at work in your life even when you are in the wildernesses of your life. Even in the cold, dark seasons, he is doing a new thing. So, if you are in a season of grief or loss, if you are waiting, don't lose heart. Please don't lose heart, right? Remember God's faithfulness. Embrace the community that he has surrounded you with and placed you within. Trust that he is still at work in your life. He is doing a new thing. If you're in a season of fruitfulness, right? Like you're like, yes, Pastor Jim, in this season the flowers are blooming, the fruit is ripe, then I would say look for someone else who is in a season of struggling. Look for that and be the presence of Christ to them and with them in this season. Sit with them. Listen to them. Remind them that they are not alone. Now, if you feel spiritually dry today, if you feel spiritually dry, if you feel like a barren fig tree, then know and trust that God is not finished with you yet. He is not finished with you. And so cling to him. Let him nourish your soul. And trust me when I tell you today, the fruit will come. The fruit will come. Jesus' words call us to a life of trust and transformation and deep faithfulness. May we cling to God even in the wilderness, even in those cold, dark moments of our lives, knowing that he is ultimately the one that holds us up, that sustains us, and that brings new life out of those barren places and barren seasons of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you are the great sustainer. And so, Lord, for those in this room today who are in this season, it is dark, it is dry. It is cold. Lord, I pray that your Spirit rests upon them this morning and helps carry them through this difficult and challenging time, and that you will bring them to a place of fruitfulness. And may the, I don't know, Lord, give them some kind of hint of that this week. Let them see a glimpse of that, of the fruit that is to come, even though they're suffering through many challenges right now. And Lord, I know people maybe are at home today and they're watching, because they couldn't get here. They just couldn't do it. And so I pray especially for those who are at home watching today, or even for those who aren't watching, just couldn't do it. We lift them up, Lord, as your body. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.